Got a little tear. I really love that song. You know, in my mind, I get the image, I'm sure you've seen him a million times, of a little kid, like a little boy or a little girl, it doesn't really matter, but they're holding their dad's hand, and the dad is so much bigger than the little kid, you know, but it doesn't really matter. And I think how that child looks up to that dad, and how that's how we are with God, and that's how God is with us. He's so big, and I'll speak for myself, I'm so small, but he still loves me, and he protects me and watches over me, and there's nothing he won't do for me. And that's how God really feels about you. But that's not what I wanted to share about today. But what I did want to share about is a little bit about change, and how change can be a really good thing, and sometimes it's not so good. But if you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 19, we'll get to that in a minute. So change is not always good. Negative change can be stressful at times. A change in finance where you lose your job or you lose some money. I remember some years back, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, I had like a pretty good bit of money. Well, for me, it was a pretty good bit of money, and I can tell you it was like six figures, and I had all this money, and I didn't have it with me. It was on a piece of paper in some stockholder's office or whatever, and I lost all that money in the stock market because I couldn't get my money out. The guy dawdled and waited and piddly-putts around, and I lost all that money. And that was a change that I sure as heck didn't need. And I was pretty upset about that. But so that kind of change, you know, a change in your health, God forbid you don't get, you know, you get sick and you don't feel too well and that's not really a good change. Why? Because it's not good at all. You're sick. But for the most part, that's not what I really wanted to talk about today. What I really wanted to talk about today is the challenge that positive change can make and how we can meet those challenges and overcome them. If you're sitting in this room or wherever else you're sitting, if you hear this at any other time, you have to think a lot about your life. Are you happy with your life and the way it is? And I'm not talking about, for lack of a better word, your daily bread, how you go about things each and every day of your life, because that part is probably pretty decent. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you do different things, and for the most part, you're in pretty good shape. But the change that's necessary to make you a better person, the change that's necessary to make you the way you God would have you to be, when God looks at you, do you know what he sees? Perfection. He only sees the Christ in you. But you don't see that. Like, I can tell you this morning, I looked in the mirror and went, dude, really? Like, whew, you know, I need to change. I need to change what? Maybe my physicality. I needed to trim my eyebrows and pluck these wild gray hairs that are coming out and all these things. But they're not even the most important things that need to be changed. What really needs to be changed is what's coming from the heart. Where you're at, when you go to God and when you're looking at God and you're looking to God and you're moving forward with God each and every day of your life, is there things about you that you don't see as being best, but maybe less than best? And I'm not saying that to put pressure on you or myself for that matter, because I speak for myself when, you know, a lot of these things come to me and I think about that. You know, I never want to put any pressure on anybody, but there comes a time when you got to face up to the facts that you're not just not the person that you want to be, and it's time for a change. I was thinking this morning on the way up here when it comes to this and about The Godfather. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie of The Godfather, and basically I think it was The Godfather 2. I'm keeping the Italian theme this morning. How about that? And it doesn't have anything to do with toilets. So The Godfather 2, if you know anything about the movie, Talia Shire, whatever her little person was married to this guy. And he basically, he beat her up, and the brother, Sonny, was all ticked off about it, and they knew that was going to get him to go there. So they trick him into that, beating her up and everything, and then Sonny gets killed. Huh? Was it the first one? Okay. So Sonny gets killed. Anyway, the heart of the issue is when when Michael Corleone decides he's going to retaliate against all these people all at once, of all the people that did bad things to the family, what he does is he brings Carlo, that was his name, Carlo. He brings Carlo in and he says, sit down, Carlo. And Carlo sits down and he says, pour him a drink. And he pours him a drink and Carlo sits there and he pushes it over to him and he takes a sip and he smiles and trust me, he was scared out of his pants, I think. But anyway, because he knew the deal. Anyway, the point is, he says, he has his drink and he says, okay, now that you've had your drink, why don't you tell me what happened? Tell me the truth. And that's where we have to get to in our lives. We got to look in the mirror, have our little drink, figure of speech. You can have a drink if you want to, I don't care less. But, you know, and then say, yo, let's get honest with ourselves. What do we really need to change? So last Sunday, I think it was, I was talking to Kim, and I was thinking how we used to be so excited. If you have been in the Word for any length of time, you used to be really excited about going to fellowship, excited about seeing all the people there, hugging them and kissing them and just being blessed and giving your part to the people that were there. And I said, you know, what happened that people aren't like that anymore? People don't, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular, so don't think I'm talking about you, because I'm not. But if the shoe fits, wear it. What happened to people that they got so excited? Like, I remember when we used to get together 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Yeah, man. Now, today, it's like, you know, you got to pry yourself out of bed on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night or a Wednesday afternoon or whenever it is that you, you know, do that. Why is that? Because we've changed. Now, some change, I get, it's good. You know, like Sandy and I were talking this morning, we're a little bit older now and we need to take care of ourselves. You know, like my wife's not here this morning because she's not feeling all that sporty. And that's okay. She's still looking pretty sporty, but she's not feeling too sporty. Anyway, point being, you know, I'm not talking about that, where you got to take care of yourself. But, you know, in Power for Abundant Living, it was said that when you lose the zest for Christian living, it's because you're out of fellowship. I think there's mitigating circumstances. It's not just that you're out of fellowship. It's just that you don't have that hunger and thirst for the Word that you used to. I'm not asking you, but when was the last time you sat down and went to God in the Word? I'm not just talking about reading the Word. I'm talking about sitting down and going at it a little bit, you know? And I know, you know, everybody's got a different story, different thing. But you know what? Is that TV that you show that you're watching going to do you any better than going to the Word? And I'm not saying only go to the Word. God knows. I know Nick doesn't watch much TV. I do. I watch some TV. Not a whole lot, but I will watch enough. You know, I watch the Pit Bulls and Parolees, like I always say. And sometimes I watch the Gold Rush thing. You know, I laugh at those guys that are out there mining for gold. But anyway, the point being, it's important to go to God and make that change so that you can be blessed. And, you know, when you think about change, you got to put it up here. You can't just absorb it physically, and you can't just absorb it mentally. You have to change every aspect of your life, physically and mentally. That's what you have to do to make a change. And it's very important that you do that. Like about 25 years ago, I guess now about 15 years ago or so, I worked for this guy, Filan Plumbing. And it was a good job. I worked my way up, and I was going to take over the business. And I was real poised to do that. I had some money saved up, and I was going to take over the business, and everything was great. And then when we went to consummate the deal, it just didn't work out. And so he sold the business to somebody else. And the first thing that guy did was that he sold it to when I bought him, when he said, was to say, oh, by the way, I'm letting you go today. And if you have a problem, you can talk to Dave because, and I had never even taken a vacation. I hadn't taken a vacation in 2 years. I never took a day off because the guy Dave had had a heart attack and some other things, and I was helping him out. So I went home, and I remember driving home and thinking, like, wow, this is, like, seriously depressing. I just went from, like, tons of money and taking over a business and ruling the world. And I thought I had it all laid out. I mean, I wasn't ruling the world, but I thought I had had it all laid out. I, you know, was going to take over this business, then merge with the guy I'm with now because I really liked him, Skip, and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? On the way home, I heard a song by Sheryl Crow, and it's A Change Will Do You Good. And it says, I think a change will do you good. And you know what? It did. It did do me good. Was it good at that time? No. Was it like super stressful? And I wanted to, I didn't even want to go home and tell my wife that I didn't have a job anymore. Like, how do you do that? I mean, yeah. Go home and say, well, I don't have a job anymore. I don't know. You know, it's hard. It was hard. But I did it. And I didn't worry about it. And you know what? I had always said, if I lost my job, I'd have another job before I got home. And believe it or not, this is the God's honest truth. On the way home, my phone rang. And a guy said, hi, my name is so-and-so. His name was Robert Stone. And I lived down in Medford. And he said, I'm dying. And I went, okay. And he said, I want you to know that I've admired you and what you've done with that company. And if you come here and work for me, I'll give you my company when I pass away. Wow. Dude, I got to tell you, I was like, I still got goosebumps about it. And that's not because I'm anybody or anything, trust me, because I'm not. And I thought, like, wow. I said, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. He said, I found this out yesterday, but it took me till today to get your phone number. And I thought that was a small community of people that had been talking about what was going to happen. Like, that guy who let me go had told his brother, Jimmy, and his brother, Jimmy, had went to a meeting and talked to this guy, too. There was a bunch of them in there, and that's how he got it. But that's how fast God worked to turn things around. And eventually, you know, I came out all right. I went in with Skip anyway, and blah, 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 blah. And it was really great. But, you know, and I thought how great that was, that that change only happened for a small period of time. But it made me realize how I could not be dependent on anything other than God. Because if I'd have looked to myself, I would have probably crashed my car into a wall and never come back. And that's the truth. So it's a lot to think about. So think about that. And one of the things I want you to, other things I want you to think about is your part in the body of Christ, where you fit in the one body and what you do. On Thursday night of fellowship, we shared on the pause that refreshes. And that's not Coca-Cola, although that is what it is. Carmen, you can you don't have to Google that. You can trust me. It's the pause that refreshes. It's Coca-Cola. But we didn't share that, not a Coke. But on fellowship. And what a blessing it is to get together on Thursday night. That's when we have fellowship and see each other. And how that's a change. How you come in weary and tired from the world, like today. You come in, maybe you didn't have such a good morning. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't have such a good night. Maybe you didn't. But you know what? When you come in here, you know that everyone here loves you. Everyone respects you. Everyone cares for you. No matter how bad things are, you're a part of the body of Christ. And how we see each other, and you don't realize how important it is. And I'll speak for my own self, to see you. Because each and every one of you, and at our fellowship on Thursday night, brings a completely unique perspective. Sarah doesn't think like I think. Staying with us for 2 minutes and you know that. Praise God. But you know what I'm saying? Did anybody catch the Carmen thing this morning with the toilet? I don't think like him. No, I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying? everybody doesn't think like everybody else, and everybody brings a particular perspective. Everybody brings something particular, maybe not necessarily a gift, but a long suit, something that you can give to others. Some people are good at hugging. Some people are good at kissing. Some people, you can just feel the love when they hold on to you. And that's just as important as standing up here and teaching the word. It's very, very important. And when you're not here, you're sorely missed. I'm not saying all these other things. I'm just saying that's how the body works. That's how it works together. And that's what we need to see. So you need to see what your part in the one body is and take that. And take the pause that refreshes. Go to fellowship and be blessed. And share what you have to give with others so that they can be blessed too. So change means to make the form, nature, or content, future course of something different from what is or from what would be left if it was left alone. So if you leave it alone, it's going to stay the same. But if you change, you're going to change it. It's going to be different. And that's what my heart is for you today, to see of all the things I've said that you can affect a change in your life. And that change can be for a good. And that's what you want to be. It means to transform or convert, usually followed by into. And I added into what? Prayerfully something better. Prayerfully you will be something better at the end of this day. So change isn't always easy, but I wrote a little quotation for myself. How about that? Change isn't always easy, but the greater the obstacle in need of change, the greater the glory in overcoming it. And that's the truth. No matter what it is, the greater the glory in overcoming it. You can overcome almost anything if you're a son of God. You know what? I got to read you this because it's pretty cool. Talk about change. So my grandson, Josh, he's like 17. I talked about him the last time I shared, but he texted me this the other morning, me and my wife. And it's a little thing. I don't know where he got it. I asked him Thursday night and he smiled. It says, if the sea couldn't stop Moses, if a wall couldn't stop Joshua, if a giant couldn't stop David, if death couldn't stop Jesus, then in Christ, nothing can stop you. He said, good morning. I love you guys. That's a 17-year-old kid that doesn't know the word from a hill of beans. But I said to him, I said, Josh, where did you get that? And he went, oh. He wouldn't tell. But it was cute. So anyway, the first thing you have to do is to realize that you need change. That's the first and most important thing. You have to change. No matter what it is it pride? Is it ego? Is it envy? I really wanted to wheedle in the Dale Carnegie thing, how to win friends and influence people, because I say that a lot. My thing was number one, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. But when I read it all, a lot of it didn't have much to do with that. It was more like winning friends and influencing people. But you could read it and see there's like 30 principles that you can utilize and pick one and start working on it. Like if you're a critical person, if you're always condemning, if you're always complaining, if you don't have a nice word to say to somebody, all those things are keys. Maybe you need to work on that. I don't know. But the second thing you need to do is to accept the challenge and take action. And that's where people fall short. People are willing to look in the mirror. They're willing to say, I got to do something with my life, but they're not willing to make a move and see it happen. And like I said, it's not going to be easy all the time, but you know what? It can be done. You just need some testable fortitude. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. You know, before we read this, I have like a couple of examples of change. And I wanted to utilize and each one is like God said or Jesus Christ told the apostles about change. But the one I really wanted to use, one of the ones I really wanted to use was the one about the four lepers. I think that's in 2 Kings, and how they lived outside of the gate, and the city was like in a disarray, and they didn't have any food, and they were running out of water, and it's like a cabbage, head of cabbage sold for like $10 or something, and I didn't write it down. Anyway, because I wasn't going to use it, because it wasn't like God telling them, and that's why I wasn't going to use it. But this morning, I realized that the first thing you have to do is make a decision. And that's what the lepers did. They made a decision. They had to make the decision. They're sitting there in the enemy camp, and they say to themselves, why sit we here until we die? And they get up, and they say, if we go there and they kill us, yeah, well, we're going to die anyway, man. But you know what? I think the word is pre-adventure. Well, pre-adventure, if we go down there, you know, maybe they'll take us in and help us out. And you know what? When they went there, there was nothing there. All them people, that God had made these sounds of horses and all this other stuff, and all the army ran away and left everything they had. And they had the spoils of the whole army there for them. And it was just like, dude, let's go tell everybody, woo-hoo! But the first thing they had to do in order to make that change in their lives, instead of sitting there and dying, was get up and go in there and do something. And they made that decision. So that was the first one I was going to, or the last one I was going to use, but like I said, I didn't use it, but now I shared it anyway, so I'm happy. Okay, so Matthew 19, verse 16. So this is a little guy who had a bunch of money. And he needed to make a change. And behold, one came, verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Praise God, this doesn't have to be us. All we had to do was accept Jesus Christ as Lord in our lives. Awesome. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. Notice he didn't say keep my commandments. He said keep God's commandments. Verse 18. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's just spouting off basically some of the Ten Commandments. And the young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Can't you just picture that? Here's this guy talking to Jesus. Don't you think he had some earnest in his heart? Sure he did. You know? And he's like, dude, I'm trying to figure this out, and I can't. I've done everything that I thought God was asking of me. Jesus has the answer. Verse 21 says unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. How about that? He says, okay, I get it. I think that's great. But you know what? If you want to be perfect, this is what you need to do. And he tells him, go unload the cares of the world. Go unload everything that you think is really important and follow me. And you'll be the richest man ever. But when the young man heard the saying, and this is what I was saying earlier about sometimes people look in the mirror and they see they need to make that change, but they don't do it. What's holding you back? There should be nothing holding you back, especially when you get to be my age. 45 years old. No, just kidding. No, especially when you get a little older. Time grows short. What's holding you back? There should be nothing. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had so much money. He had so much land. He had so much stuff. You know what? He didn't see it. He just didn't see it. He couldn't do it. Jesus challenged this man's core values. See, for us, it's not core values that need to be changed. Some of us for the most part, or most of us for the most part, have good core values. You love God. You love His Word. You want to do His Word. Money is important, but it shouldn't be all that important. The thing that's most important should be God and His Word, and the looking unto God and the doing of His Word, so that you can once again enjoy and be enthusiastic about God and His Word, the spreading of His Word, the living of His Word, the being example of His Word. I don't know how many things I can whip out there, but that's where you need to be, because that's what's really important. And you're going to be a better person for it in the end. Trust me, it's going to happen. So he had to change his core values, because his core value was putting something before God. That's idolatry, no matter how you look at it. Are we at that point in our lives where we're putting things before God? We shouldn't be. And like I'm saying, I'm not talking about you got to come to fellowship 24/7, 7 days a week, speak the word, do nothing but the word, nothing but the word. I'm just saying that has to be a big part of your life. When I shared the last time, I said, is it a way of life or a lifestyle? It's got to be a way of life. It's got to be a way of life. So this guy had to change from his self-righteousness, and from obeying the law to the righteousness that would come from believing in Jesus Christ. Think about that. He was self-righteous because he did the law. He said, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. But you know what? It wasn't good enough. He had to change that. He had to change from being self-righteous to allowing the righteousness of God. And number two, he had to change from the comfort and assurance of his wealth that he provided to trusting that God would provide for him. And that's a big deal. Believe me, it's a very big deal. As I said earlier, I learned that firsthand. Here I was, thought I was doing really great and living on top of the world, and bazunga. I wasn't. I lost my job. But God came through, and when you're trusting that God's going to take care of you, there's nothing. And thus the following verses, verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This man did not accept the challenge. He turned and walked away. But the apostles did. Peter and John, all those guys, all the apostles, they accepted the challenge. They gave up and they moved on and they followed Jesus Christ. And their lives truly changed for the better. And I got three words that testify to that. Day of Pentecost. There you go, man. Them guys were speaking in tongues. Them guys were glorifying God. How about that? So, take a look at Genesis chapter 12. Next guy I want to look at is Abraham. Abraham, it was funny when I was working this, I was thinking about Father Abraham had two sons have Father Abraham. Yeah, that's a great song. How's it going now? Yeah, brother. God bless you. Good for you. So Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 1 here. And it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into the land that I will show thee. So this is God talking to Abraham where he lives. Right at his point in his house, and he says, yo, bud, I want you to get out of here. That's what I want you to do. When was the last time God asked you to leave your house? Thank God he never asked me to leave mine. Praise God. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here, Abraham had to go out, like on the proverbial limb. God was asking him to leave everything that he had known, his family, his friend, his house, and not only his house, but his country to boot. I don't know. I don't know where he was. I don't know where he's going, but I can tell you this much. He had to believe in God, and he had to make a great change in his life. You know, imagine if you got the word of the Lord, go to India, go to one of those places, Pakistan or Afghanistan or one of these. Whoa, man. Think about it. Isn't that what you do when you go in the military? Sure do. Yeah. Yeah. How many places you go when you're in the military? And you go there because you love your country. We go places because we love God and His Word. How about that? So Abraham had to go out, and he had to leave on the proverbial limb, and he had to leave everything behind. Number one, he had to leave his country and go and live in a foreign land that he didn't know. Maybe it was a place where they wouldn't understand his speech, or he wouldn't understand theirs. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was hard for him, very hard for him. Change is not easy, but it can be done if you're committed to doing it. How about that? His name and family would be great. He had to leave his relatives, his home, and his friends. That's number two. So he had to leave his country and go to a foreign land, leave his relatives, his home, and his friends. He'd leave everybody behind. Now, you know, I know you can read there, some folks came, went with him, and Lot, and that. But the gist of it was he had to leave everything that he knew behind. And number three, he had to leave the security of his home for some unknown place that God was sending him to. But he did it. He got up and he left. And what was the result? He did accept the challenge, just like Peter and the other apostles did. He did leave. And his name and family would be great. God would give him many descendants, and the world would be blessed through him. And it was, and still is for the most part, as far as I know. It hasn't changed. You get a little older, you start thinking about legacy. You know what? I can't think of a greater legacy than that. And that's pretty good. Look at Galatians chapter 6, please. And this is just a little proof of the Abraham thing in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the brethren through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be what? Blessed. Huh? That's not in Galatians 6? Well, where is it?
It's in Galatians.
It's in Galatians.
Chapter 3. It's not. It was half of what it really was.
Well, now there you have it. Shows I need a change to Galatians chapter 3. Is what it says. So what is it? Galatians 3?
3:6.
Yes, it is. 3:6. Well, we'll read it again. How about that? Right where it should be. I could add a V8. Okay, even as Abraham believed God. It's still the same verse. I just got the wrong thing. Okay, I can read this one. This is like so small, even with the glasses. I can't see. Believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So see, God backed it up what he said. And God's going to back up what he says to you when he asks you to do something. And how do you get that? By the word, by revelation, by inspiration, however God works with you. However you see God telling you things, that's what you need to do. You need to just get to doing it. Because that's the most important thing that you can do. Let's take a look at Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Because this is one of my most favorite things, is Noah, one of my most favorite guys. Noah was a really great man. He did a lot of great things for God, as we're there. And I'm sure you could go to the Word and find, I don't know, how many other people that changed in their lives. These were just people that I liked that stuck out for me. You know, Noah, Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, all the time. That's all it was evil. And I know I've said this before when I've used this verse. What's it looking like today? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I don't want to get into a sidebar, but Dolores was crying the other morning, and I said, what's wrong? Yesterday, in fact, I think it was. She run on the treadmill and was watching the TV, and it was some news or something. I don't know. Anyways, whatever was on there, and the guy from New York signed a bill, the mayor or the governor, whoever he is, I really don't know. Do you know that? Yeah. That even if you're 9 months pregnant, you can have an abortion. And I said, well, okay. And she said, you know, that's just one of the saddest things I've ever heard. And I said, you know what? Steal, kill, and destroy, man. That's what it comes down to. You know what? So I don't want to go off on a sidetrack, but if you go back, they used to do those things back in the day. They sacrificed children. And I wonder how much that figures into it. I don't know, but you can figure that out. Anyway, so it was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But, and that's how strong that word is, in direct contrast, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Yeah. And how about us? Do we not, in the midst of all that's going on today, of the border walls, of illegal immigrants, of all this abortion, of all this idolatry. Whew, man, in the midst of all that, don't we find grace in the eyes of God? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for us to wake up and start doing the things that God would have us to do, to change the things that we can change. You know, the last thing you want to do is be able to go before God and he says, Bud, what were you doing there? You know, why didn't you do something? God bless you. You can do it. All you got to do is make a decision to change your life, to change your mind, change one thing, whatever it is. Pray for someone, love someone, utilize your part in the body of Christ. That's what's really important. You know, I know, like Sandy, like, as one of the most, and I'm not picking on you, but she's one of the most giving people I have ever met in my entire life. Yes, there you go. Amen. That's right. If you needed something, she'd take the shirt off her back, figure of speech, and give it to you. And how about Rob, the same way? I'm not, huh? Yeah, that's what I just said. Peanut gallery. As I just said, he's a giving guy. I remember when Stephen got married, and the irony, we needed somebody to do something. I don't remember what it was, like stand on the other side of a gate or something. And I saw Rob, and I thought, there's the man for the job. Why? Because he's always willing to jump in and do what needs to be done. And the same thing for all. Yeah, I could go on and say something about each and every one of you, but I just saw them sitting there. Looking happy, so I'd make him more happy. No, just kidding. No, but you know what? You understand what I'm saying? It's that important. that you rise up and do it. Okay, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh was corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said in verse 13 unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that shall make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, I got to tell you, if Abraham went out on a limb, my man Noah was going out on literally a little twig, like a little sprig that was like hanging out with like maybe one leaf. I mean, think about that. I was laughing. I'm still laughing. Thinking about it. Okay, so God says to you, now picture you being Noah. Be Noah for a minute. And by the way, the world as you know it is going to get wiped out. Like every man, woman, child, and beast is going to get wiped out. Where do you go in your mind to comprehend that? Like, I don't know. God bless Noah. I mean, he did. You know, think about that. Sometimes God asks us to do things, we're like, oh, there's no way I could do that. When that happens, think of Noah. Man, like, pfft. Okay, number two. By the way, it's going to rain to beat the band.
Wow. Yeah.
Did he ever even know what rain was? I don't know. I don't know if he even knew. Could he even comprehend that? I don't know. Sure don't know a lot of things, but I know this much. By the way, God says to him, I'm only saving you, your family, and the animals, so build me a big boat. Ark. Okay. Did Noah even have a concept of an ark? So many things there with Noah. Phew, man. But Noah accepted the challenge. He took that challenge and he did it. And he did what needed to be done. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah, his family, and the animals, and all future generations were saved. That's what it comes down to. We probably would not be here today. I say probably because I don't know that for sure either. Because nobody really knows the mind of God and what he was thinking or how it would have went. But if Noah hadn't accepted that and done what he did, we probably wouldn't even be here today. That's how important some things are. That's how important your life is. You need to see yourself as big as Noah. As big as any person that's in this book. Because you are. And there's only one you. So whatever it is that's holding you back, like I said, you need to get busy getting rid of it and get on to holding on to it. And don't be a chump. Be willing to fight. Be willing to take a stand because you can do it. And if you need help, my door is always open. You can call me anytime. Now, I might not answer the phone right away. I might be doing something. But I'll answer. Or you can call Nick or call Kim or call my wife Dolores or call anybody. Call somebody and get some help when things start going bad. If you're married, go to your husband. If you're a husband, go to your wife. That's what's really important. Listen to what God has to say via any communication, like I said earlier, that he works with you. Inspiration, revelation, written word, whatever it is. For me, sometimes it's just songs like that. A change will do you good. And if you listen to that song on the way home or at some point, I don't want to hear grief, how it's not a really good song. It's the point of a change doing good. Because some of the words are less than best. In fact, they're downright evil. But the change will do you good is the point God was trying to make with me. And that's where you have to go. Look for the good. Cleave to the good. Abhor that which is evil. Accept the challenge no matter what it looks like at the time. Because you see, when you're in Carmen said this morning, when you're in the forest and you can't see the forest for the trees, sometimes you can't see what's going to happen or the effect of what's going to happen. Sometimes that's just the way it is. But there will be an effect. What is that saying? Cause and effect. You have a cause and that cause makes an effect. It's the same thing. You're going to have an effect. I'm sure Noah didn't think, oh my goodness, I'm going to get in a boat. I'll bet you God's really not wiping everybody out. How did it look to him at that time? How did it look to Abraham? How did it look to that guy? The king, the ruler, whoever that guy was, the rich guy. In the Gospels, how did it look to him? Did he actually sit back and think, this guy's out of his stinking mind. I'm doing the law. That's it. I'm not going there. You know? Yeah, well, be your self-righteous self. Who cares? You're not helping anybody that way. Not you personally. I'm talking about him. You know? You got to see it. You got to see it for what it really is. We need to accept the challenge, no matter what it looks like at the time, and then act on that challenge. So if you ever been in the Word for any length of time, specifically in the Way Ministry, you may have heard the four D's of Doulos Doing. I just thought of this. So, okay, decision, desire, details, deliverance. The time is now. Decision, desire, details, and deliverance. You need to first make the decision. You need to decide that you need to change. Right? And then you need to get the deliverance. How do you do that? By going out and doing what needs to be done. And I'm not saying any of you are wrong, any of you are bad, any of you have things you need to change. Only you. You know, God looks on the heart, and he knows your heart. And only him and... You know, I used to think, I used to think that when I was approached by a clergy person, that they knew what I was thinking, that they knew what I was doing, that they knew what was going on in my life. Fact of the matter is, like in the old days, God didn't tell me to tell you anything. No, you know, that's not true. They don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know what you're doing. You know, I care. I care what you're doing, not because I want to know what you're doing in your life, but because I want to see you get better in your life and be blessed and be happy. You know, and that's the important thing. Nobody knows but you and God. So go to God. I think we sell ourselves short. Too many times the first thing we do is go to people. You know, if you're sick, don't answer this. What's the first thing you do? Don't answer this. It should be pray. Now, I, above many people, know this because of my heart situation. You know, I prayed. I did not die. I prayed. The first thing I did was pray for myself. The next thing I did was have my wife pray for me. I got ministered to by my wife. Still wasn't working out. Okay, so I'm not stupid. It wasn't working out. I went to the doctors. And praise God, I even told the doctor, you know that story, I told him he was crazy, he had the wrong guy, and I wound up getting emergency ambulance down to the Lady Lourdes Hospital, catheter bypass thing stuck up there, and oblations and stents and all this other stuff. And you know, the guy said, it's a miracle you're alive, man. He said, you're a testimony of what it can be of when you're living right. And I had to laugh. I thought, dude, you don't know the half of it. Yeah. But you know what? I'm not proud of that. I'm just saying, God saved me. The first thing I did was go to God. Is that your first thing? You go through the field together, you and God, holding hands. You're looking up at him. Think about it. Think about it. It's important. Hebrews chapter 12. Please. You guys, all right, we're finishing up here. In Hebrews chapter 12, the thing we need to do is lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then maybe it's not even just sin. Maybe it's just the things that are holding you back, whatever it is. Wow. you know, I'm just thinking, if my wife was here, we'd be having a good laugh, because when we were in the ministry, everything somebody said, my wife thought we should have to do that. She would say, like, they'd talk about going wow. Like, somebody would say, oh, everybody should go wow. Oh, it's like, that's a word over the world ambassador, where you leave your home for a year and you go somewhere and you witness and all that. And I was like, we should go wow. Don't you think we need to go wow? Like, no, we don't. That's okay. Yeah, we should do this. You know, you should pray 24 hours. Okay, let's stay up tonight and pray for 24 hours. Like, stop. I love you, man. No. But you know what I'm saying? It's the heart. It's what's in your heart. But lay aside whatever's encumbering you, whatever's holding you back. Be it sadness, and sadness can hold you back. You know, don't let that get to you, man. Whatever it is. If it's sadness, if it's, I don't know, finances, whatever could be your problem. Let it go, man, and let God take care of it for you. Verse 1 in chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and you can read back all the people and all that they did. Those people really had it rough, man. A lot rougher than I do, I can tell you that. Let us lay aside every weight. And what is that weight? The things that are encumbering you. The things that are holding you down. It could be embarrassment, you know, that you did something. Or non-embarrassment, that you didn't. I don't know. But whatever it is, get rid of it. Let it go, man. Let God take care of it. Whatever that weight is. And the sin which such so easily beset us. Excuse me, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That race that is set before us, that race is to the hope of the return of Jesus Christ and going there someday. And we'll see that in a minute, where we'll make the final change once and for all. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus Christ is at now. And that's where we're going to be. Seated with him. Look at 1 John, please, chapter 3. We're going to close here. And I said, as I said before, a second ago, whenever it was, you know, someday we're going to change in the twinkling of an eye. And it will be the final change. And will be a change for nothing but the good. And there'll be no more sorrow. No more grief, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. It's only going to be great. Did I say this before? I don't remember, but somebody said, some guy was reading the word or teaching the word or something, and he said, I read the end of the Bible, and trust me, it turns out okay. Yeah. You know, trust me, it turns out okay, and it really does. Beloved, verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Now, not someday, but now, right now, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him, what?
As he is.
And as he is, so are we where?
In this world.
I rest my case. All right? Take the challenge to make the change. Do something good for your life. I'm going to close with a prayer. Almighty God, we sure are thankful for the greatness of this day. Thankful that we can sing a joyous song in our hearts, knowing that you love us, protect us, and watch over us, knowing that you care for us each and every day of our lives. I thank you for healing the hearts, souls, and minds of each person that is here today, for all those who are not here. Thank you, God, that you touch their lives in a special way, that they know it's you and that they can take the challenge to change, that they can be better Christians for you, better sons, better daughters. And thank you, God, that you only see the greatness of who we are, that we can go to you each and every day of our lives, bear our souls to you, knowing that you care for us. And in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen.
Amen. Hey, Chuck.